I'd like to talk to you this afternoon about the ion dipole and how it can explain the salinity effects in the dielectric measurements. What I'm going to be talking to you about is the dielectric constant and how it varies with frequency. We'll tour through that, and you'll see how that varies with salinity. And then we'll go into, well, how do we explain this? It will be in terms of the polarization mechanisms. I'll show you a little bit about the experiments that we did to gather the physical numbers, and then show you some experimental results, and then conclude. So this gives you an overview of what I'll be talking about. We're going to look at the dielectric constants, and we're going to vary the frequency from 10 hertz all the way out to 10 to the 12th terahertz in the computer, that is, not in the experiments. And you'll see that here's the familiar orientation polarization leading to values 78 at ambient conditions. And then I want to bring to your attention this other phenomenon called the ion dipole polarization. I'm going to characterize it at low frequencies by a static or an epsilon sub s value, and at high frequency by an epsilon infinity value. And that's enough of that. Okay, now here's a kind of animation of what we see with salinity. Here I've put the decisiemens per meter up here. I put a marker on here in the graph at 70 megahertz. The condition down here is for pure water. We're going to swing this graph from pure water all the way out to saturated KCl solution. So let me run through it quickly for you first. And so there we go. And there's the saturated KCl condition. Let me bring it back. Obviously, you noticed that this peak in the imaginary part was moving, as well as the transition in the real part was moving with salinity. You probably didn't notice, but this level is tracking down. It's a little more subtle, but this level is also tracking down. But orientation polarization is just sitting there. It's not moving particularly as we change the frequency. So one more time. Whoops. Here we go. Watch the level. It's coming down. And then at some point you see the dielectric constant begin. We're at 1 decisiemen. By the time we get to 10 decisiemens, the dielectric constant now has jumped up. At 100, it's way up, and by saturation, it's all the way up at the full value. So that's what I want to talk about today and discuss the mechanisms and the experiments. So let's talk first about the orientation polarization. Think of a box with some water molecules in it and with no electric field. Then when we impose electric field, the ions then are aligned with the electric field. And that's the root of the polarization mechanism, the fact that the electric fields can align the molecules with the electric field. So that's a discussion of the orientation polarization. Now we'll look at ion dipole polarization. So these are the lower frequency polarization effects. So now we're thinking of, okay, the water molecules now are hydrating or surrounding the cation, potassium in this case, and this becomes what I'm calling the polarizable unit. So how can I explain the traverse of the those peaks with the peak frequencies with conductivity? So here I put seven cations in the box, and you see the water shells now, the hydration is quite large. Well, these water shells are massive, they're hard to polarize, and so in this case the relaxation frequencies are rather low. Now as I add more, I put 22 potassium ions in the box, The shells are smaller. You see they're single rows now. They're easier to polarize, and in this case, the relaxation frequencies are higher. Turns out that Falkenhagen in 1934 had an explanation for all of this, and he called them ion atmospheres. Here's the experimental setup. We're going to do immersion experiments that I'll explain in a minute, but here are the probes inside this chamber, and we're just incrementally going to fill this up and look at the spectra over here on our impedance spectrometer. There's the peak that we see experimentally. The immersion experiments are designed so as to get rid of this end effect and also to get rid of meniscus effects. So as we fill the chamber, those effects are gone. What we're after, first of all, to get the dielectric constants, we have to go after the two geometrical factors, the K factor and the F factor. And so the experiments look like this. As you fill the chamber, the real part of the capacitance has the stair step, and the imaginary part has this very, very beautiful peak. We found the F and K values. They're listed here. They're shown here. We solved it for both the pure water static and high frequency values, but also fit a wide range of other liquids, as you can see here. Okay, experimental results. We're going to look in the next chart at how this dielectric constants is decreased as we increase the salinity, also how the orientation polarization decreases with salinity. So here we are, and here's the roll-off of the static dielectric constant as a function of salinity. This is 1 decisiemen per meter is that roll-off. What we did was we fixed the value here, 324, at the pure water, at this stated value for pure water. This is deionized water. We couldn't get down that far, but this is where we're stating that value. Likewise, for the high frequency end, this is the familiar 78 or 79 in this particular case for the dielectric constant, and you can see its roll-off too. This Robinson and Stokes mention that the orientation dielectric constant, that is actually this value up here, is salinity dependent. So we're not the first one to observe this. Finally, the motion, the peak frequency or the motion of this transition region is described by the salinity. And here I'm showing a graph which takes the salinity all the way from pure water down here to saturated KCl, and these are our data points going from deionized water to about 1 decisiemen per meter there. And you see there's a very beautiful relationship. This relationship is captured. The slope of this line is actually a capacitance per unit length, and it has a value of 20.4. So, in conclusion, the effect of the salinity is explained by this ion dipole polarization. It has a value of 324. The ion dipole and orientation dielectric constants decrease as we increase the salinity. The ion dipole effect turns on at a relaxation frequency that is salinity dependent, and the characteristic number for that effect is 20.4 picofarads per centimeter. We put a test frequency in our chart of 70 megahertz, and it shows that the salinity effect really comes on. It's probably less. I was put too high a value here. It's more like 4 or 5 decisiemens per meter is when the orientation polarization dielectric constant is overwhelmed by the ion dipole. And with that, I thank you for your attention. Want some questions? Some questions? Anyone have any questions about this?
Okay. 300, I thought the low frequency dielectric constant of water, pure water, was 80.
Right, that's what I was trying to show you here. And
when you add salinity, it goes lower.
That's what.
That's the whole literature.
That tasted the.
That's what is in, that's what those old guys were saying. But this is what we see. We see this dielectric constant going up.
Have you measured
this? This physically measured, absolutely.
This is a calibration, right?
This is a physical measurement of these, of this effect.
You calibrate yourself.
Yeah, this is coming right from this.
There's pure water number on that calibration chart.
The pure water is coming. The pure water on this chart here. Where am I going backwards? Okay, this one here comes from the.
No, we're talking about dielectric. This is a peak frequency. I'm thinking about the physical explanation is kind of defies the reasonableness here. You have larger and larger clusters of fire that you need to
work. Right.
And they relax now at higher and higher frequencies.
Yes.
It seems counterintuitive.
It's not. That was my argument, that when you have more KCl, more cations in solution, the water shells are smaller, they're easier to move around.
But even at the smallest size.
Yes. Yes.
You'd still be at the frequencies that are much lower than the relaxation of water.
No. Disagrees. Falkenhagen has the numbers in his book. He has the numbers, and they agree exactly with what we see.
That's dangerous. If you agree, if a guy from 34 says something and you agree, then you're happy.
No. Well, it's in Harned's book, also Harned and Owens.
Have you seen the book of Hastings?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I have. I've seen his book.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.